Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Welcome back, and it is now or never. And, you know, I spend time every once in a while to kind of help you understand what the heck do I mean by it's now or never. Now, as I listen to and as I suffer through the conservative entertaining shows, and as a matter of fact, I'm actually getting feedback how people are really starting to hear what I am telling you you're getting from these entertainers. You know, it doesn't take long to actually start hearing how they're very good businessmen. Glenn Beck is I have the utmost respect for all of these businessmen because they understand their messaging and they understand how to make money. Now, as you know, I probably understand how to make money. And I believe that there are times when, you know, we need to be making money and we need to be doing business. And then I believe we have obligations as citizens, as children of God. And I believe that we have these obligations to each other as a society. You know, when we look at, I'll give you my perspective. When I actually look at what I see on the conservative side, I see the conservative side actually clinging to and adapting to communal values and a communal move. In other words, we all have to get on board with this paradigm. And actually, in working in Wyoming, because I'm going to tell you, you know, I'm herding cats because I'm not here to tell people what they need to do, you know, because I'm not in that position, nor do I want to be in that position. The position we all have to be in is we all have to actually step up, step forward, and start working together. What do I need to do? How can I help you? And that's how I'm presenting it to everybody. How can I help you? Now, as I look at the conservatives and I look at the Freedom Caucus and I look at these political organizations, whether it's the Republican Party, Freedom Caucus, what have you. And remember, folks, there are two sides to the party apparatus. There's the grassroots apparatus that you deal with when you go into a GOP meeting, whether it's a county, state meeting, what have you. That is the grassroots apparatus. And then there's this veil, there's this wall between that apparatus and the political apparatus. The political party apparatus are those people in office who wear the brand. In other words, these are the Republicans, these are the Democrats, and very far and few between of the others. As a matter of fact, there's very little representation of really anything other than the Uniparty. But when we look at how these folks in the party apparatus work, it is all about theatrics. It's all about, you know, compromise. There is nothing. I mean, I'm telling you, folks, the Constitution isn't, it's not even in their hip pocket. They may actually have a Constitution, but it is not in their tool belt. You know, Rand Paul may pull out a constitution or you know, some, you know, Macy. Somebody may actually pull up a constitution out of their pocket, but I'm telling you, they are not operating. It is not in their tool belt. That is all hyperbole. Now, when you start looking at these conservative entertainers, you'll notice that they're, you know, they tailor their marketing towards, you know, what they are messaging you. And so this is why, you know, they're there to help you by giving you good deals on your pillows and give you good deals on, you know, buying gold or buying food or buying guns or ammo. I mean, everybody's doing that. In other words, they are there to actually help, you know, because they know what you want, or they know what you need. And there's, you know, there's an opportunity, right? As a businessman, you go, well, I can make money if I get these guys to, you know, if I endorse these guys, they give me a, you know, a little action, a little kickback on the sales. Now, I've told you that we have Monix. I am telling you, you call them up. You talk to Nav. And you look and you dive into this. Go to Reclaiming the Republic Take Action page. I've got all the little contact information regarding Monix. I've yet to have anybody, nobody, I haven't heard a peep regarding a better mechanism of putting gold and silver in your hands. Oh, there's all sorts of people that say, you know, instantly, just like that, you have gold. But is it in your hands? Are they delivering it to you, or is it sitting in somebody's vault? Well, maybe, oh, well, you know, I could actually sell you or scare you on the idea of do you want to have tens of thousands of dollars of gold in your house so somebody can come and steal it? Folks, that gold does you nothing if all of a sudden everything is shut down and you don't have access to it. You better figure out how to have the resources you need when the time comes when you need resources. Because I'm telling you, and as a matter of fact, I know I get beat up because, you know, every once in a while I have, you know, people come back and say, hey, GR, you know, you've said that these things are going to happen. And I go, I don't tell you when they're going to happen, but they are going to happen. Are you telling me we're not going to go to a cashless society? Are you telling me that we're not going to have military engagements with China? Are you telling me that these things that the, you know, and this is not, you know, Claire, you know, with some crystal ball. Just read the scriptures. It tells you what's going to happen. People are going to die at a magnitude that will shock you. The pandemic was nothing. As a matter of fact, most people realize it was really a trial run and it was a prep. It was an injection of getting people to recognize that government has these powers. And there's nothing we can do about it. And I'm telling you, there is everything we can do about it. You have the opportunity to step up and become a part of the process and the movement of Reclaiming the Republic. Reclaiming the Republic is really, it is really the movement of everybody working together. This is something that, even though it may be a trademark, it is something that I can actually say, these people over here are Reclaiming the Republic. And they may not even carry that brand, but what they are doing and how they are doing it would be Reclaiming the Republic. And it all starts, and it has to start in your county. We can't take back the federal government. We cannot force the federal government into compliance until we can exercise republic review. And that takes a lot of political energy to get there. But it doesn't require every ounce of your effort, money, and resources to do this. We just have to work together. And as a matter of fact, reasonable people equally informed seldom disagree, and the majority of everybody out there is reasonable. The problem is that middle part. We got to get them equally informed. You know, they don't even know the level of warfare that is being waged upon them. And until you place context to this, those are all warfare tactics. And oh, by the way, and you can actually tie every single one of these tactics back to our government, corporations, you know, American people, entrepreneurs, organizations. We're doing it to ourselves. But they're doing it for a purpose. They have an objective, and that objective is control. It's not about the American way. It's not about liberty and giving you freedoms. Are you kidding me? It's about moving us into slavery. So I'm telling you, welcome. It is now or never. And I'm going to also tell you this. Boys and girls out there, you need to learn your place, and you need to learn it quickly. And I'm telling you something, because I have heard in my lifetime, because I've dealt with and I've seen and heard racism, and I have heard people say, you better learn your place. And I've heard that coming lately, you know, in so many different directions, but nobody's really saying that. And I am telling you that that is what is happening. You have no idea. You have no idea the level of control. And as a matter of fact, the scrutiny, excuse me, sorry about that. The scrutiny, because of your demographics, if you're a white man, I'm telling you, the eyes are going to be fixated on you, and they're going to judge anything and everything you say and do because you might be homophobic. And then, oh, by the way, that's a contrived problem. That is a contrived condition that it, you know, is not based on psychiatry or, you know, this what is the term? And I don't even want to waste the time. The profession, it is not science. Homophobic is not a real condition. But they've convinced everybody that because you reject what they're trying to sell you, oh, well, you're homophobic. It's a label that they use to lynch you with. And that's what they're doing. This is all about discrediting and destroying you. And I've met people, and I know people out there that have been basically, in a figurative way, they have been tarred and feathered and beaten down to a point where they've been destroyed. I absolutely know an individual who has been so adversely affected that they had no other choice, as they tell me. They had no other choice but to go down the sovereign citizen movement and basically completely unplug from the system. Now, everybody has that choice, but I'm here to tell you folks, there are consequences with that. And we need everybody in the game using the Constitution, whether it's signing petitions, but more importantly, becoming a part of the movement and actually stop voting at the local level. For your county commissioners, and stop voting at the local level for your state representatives who are not champions of the Constitution. And we need to get this kick-started, and it's actually happening. There's hurdles. And every time you deal with people, you're always going to have hurdles because people have feelings. People, you know, have to be, you know, I don't want to say managed, but you got to deal with these little problems. And it's just like, you know, I wish I could just say, hey, suck it up. You know, but I realize not everybody's wearing a Marine Corps uniform. So what do? We have to figure out how to put aside our differences. And I can't emphasize these two points enough. You better start putting your differences aside, and you better start putting your self-interest aside, because if you can't do that, we're done. And I am seeing this all the time, and as a matter of fact, those people who like to poke back at me, who claim to be conservatives and good people, and, you know, the jury is still out as far as I'm concerned, and it's seeming to me like the reason why the jury will never come back is because maybe these people aren't good. Maybe these people are defending and defending and defending these, you know, these nuances. Oh, well, you know, it's not really that, you know what I'm talking about. And the fact is that they're not willing to put aside their differences. And more importantly, most of these people are not willing to put aside their self-interest. So go to and prove me wrong. Set up your own, what do you call that? Referral account with Monix. Go do that. You know, of course you'll be labeled as my referral, but you can always call and get your own agent and completely, you know, screw me, but that's okay. I don't care. I'm not doing it for that. I'm proving to you that I'm not doing it for that. You know, if you don't have a referral and you actually buy and nobody gets it, that means nobody gets it. Actually, Monix keeps it. It is baked into their process that every time a person buys, whoever the referral is will get, you know, that little bit. So if you love Monix that much to say, you know, I want to make sure you get that little extra profit, then go do that. But as far as I'm concerned, it's baked into their process. So set up your own referral account and make the money by creating the referrals and helping friends actually get to a point where they have gold and silver. I'm going to get into the cost of this, but I also need to talk about this abortion messaging and so forth, because we're seeing how, and they're actually providing feedback on the last election, how women and people are actually voting solely on the abortion issue. And because people are standing up and making these claims that abortion is morally wrong, and not that it's not, that's a personal opinion, though. That's a personal side. The legal side on abortion, the constitutionality of the abortion issue, is the federal government has no authority to be involved in it. This is truly a state issue, and this is truly needs to be managed by us at every state level. If the state wants to do that, if the people of the state, if the people of the county want to do that, then they should be allowed to tax themselves to support it. But the federal government should not be compelling the states and taxing them and supporting this and promoting it around the world. When we put this into context, it becomes painfully clear what they're doing and why they're doing it. Bottom line, folks, I've got a bad tickle, so if I have to cough, forgive me. Bottom line, as politicians, if they're not educating you on enumerated powers, if they're not actually holding up the Constitution and saying, folks, this is our U.S. Constitution. This is what most politicians have to start doing. They need to hold up the U.S. Constitution and say, folks, this document right here actually delegates very specific roles, responsibilities, and powers to the federal government. That these powers, roles, responsibilities, and even property are delegated to the federal government by the states. And so if it is not listed here, the federal government does not have the authority constitutionally, legally, to be involved in it. And folks, we've got a video out here. We want you to watch this short video that proves to you that the federal government does not have the authority to exercise the power of the Department of Transportation that they're currently exercising. That three presidents actually vetoed these attempts of Congress to usurp this power and to exercise the role, responsibility, power, and possess the property of the Department of Transportation. And if you do that right there, and then you get everybody to watch it. As a matter of fact, if I was running a campaign and having a town hall meeting, I would play that video. Folks, if you do that, you have now empowered the people with a level of information to prove that there is no authority whatsoever in the Constitution for for the federal government to be involved in abortion. Come on, folks. If they can't do the Department of Transportation, which nobody bats an eye, let me be clear. There is not one activist organization out there demanding that the Department of Transportation be basically dismantled because it is not constitutional. I want to be clear on this. We have Second Amendment groups that are trying to protect the Second Amendment. Where is the group? Where is the patriot organization that's saying the Department of Transportation is unconstitutional? We have three presidents that actually stated this and proved it. You know what, folks? When we really start placing context in that manner, to the Department of Transportation, then you actually go out and so show me how, if they say if it's not enumerated in the Constitution, you can't do it, folks, then how is it that the federal government can do education, energy, or even abortion? If you want to win on the truth, use the truth. But if you want to stand up there to make yourself feel better because you have moral principles, then make yourself feel better. But you're not right. The government cannot actually seize authority and say, thou shalt be no abortion. The federal government has nothing to say about abortion, whether it exists or doesn't. It is a state issue. And taking that position right there will win, because now it moves back to. So the question is, do we really want to? And actually, all you got to do is prove how the federal government has actually been playing these games and sterilizing, working with Bill Gates in sterilizing people around the world. How racist is that? That man, Bill Gates, needs to be in a jail cell. Everything that he's touched and owned needs to be seized. And then we can actually start going down this path of actually holding him accountable for his atrocities, his involvement in the pandemic, his involvement in vaccinations, everything that that man is doing. The same thing with Soros. All of his buddies, because, you know, these guys are all tight. Go look at the Open Societies, you know, foundation. When you see the names that are listed there, you'll realize a lot of these guys are American billionaires. They're all the world billionaires, and they're all working together. What does that mean? Well, could that mean that they're actually working to control us all? Folks, you know, we know who's doing it. We know why they're doing it. And we know what they're doing. All we've got to do is start using the one weapon, information, and the light and truth of the Constitution. The weapon is the Constitution. It helps. And I go through this all the time. Folks, I go through this all the time where I prove to people that within the Constitution, we have everything we need to win these arguments. What American would vote against the Constitution? And as a matter of fact, if you actually started moving and acting, and actually anybody that voted to, you know, actually do something that would be contrary to the Constitution, they should have their citizenship revoked. We need to have these conversations. Folks, it is literally that, we're at that point. Where there are people that say, I don't care to be a U.S. citizen anymore. Well, that's okay. You know, we're not going to hang you for that, but you just can't be here anymore. You can't vote. You can't be a part of our process. Because to be a citizen, you are legally bound and required to support and defend that their constitution. And if you're attacking it, then you're an enemy to it and can't be a citizen. But here we are accepting, we've actually embraced this concept that a citizen has a right to attack the Constitution. Seriously, are we actually going to say that it is okay to be an enemy to the Constitution and liberty and be a U.S. citizen? That is the insanity. You know, Christ used in the New Testament some really good parables about a thief coming into your home and the enemy in your home and those types of things. A nation cannot survive if it opens its doors and brings in your enemy to overpopulate you. This invasion on our southern border is literally just that. And these poor people, these invaders that are here, are pawns in their plan. It's the same thing with the reality of China. Now, I'm going to get into the gold. I'm going to get into silver because I want you to know this, and I want you to actually see where we are with these numbers first before I go too much further, because it is Feedback Friday. Okay, so gold is currently heading up. Last week, it was kind of heading down. It was stabilized. But right now, because when we started this, it was around 2014, around that. And so when we look at the value of gold today, if you're buying it from Monex, you're paying about $2,200 an ounce, $2,226. If you use a credit card buying from Monex, it's about $2,300. So it's about $70 more per ounce if you're using a credit card. So that means if you're buying 100 coins, then, you know, or actually, I think it's 10 coins. You're buying 10 ounces at a time. So if you're buying 10 ounces at a time, so 10 times 70, you know, that's $700. So you're going to pay $700 more if you use a credit card, but at least Monex will allow you to use a credit card. Now, we can talk about bankruptcy laws and all these other things, but I think you're starting to understand. We'll be right back after this.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so one of the things that I have to acknowledge, because I'm going to only state the obvious. I'm not telling you to do this. As a matter of fact, this is wrong and it's immoral. But the one thing that, you know, I can tell you is that the Citibanks have become, or the Citibanks, Citi is obviously one of the big banks, and the big banks are actually become very predatory, and they're on board with moving us to a cashless society because they're all on board. And if you look at who's controlling them, it is no longer about the profits. It is about moving everybody into control. Now, the banking system, the banks themselves, have always been predatory. I've been telling people all my life, why are you doing banking with a bank? Why are you not working with a credit union? I've never had a bank account. Never. Well, hold on. I think when I was a child, when I was a minor, my parents opened up an account and I had some money in an account. I believe when I became an adult, 18, and I could do so, I actually closed that account. I took all the money out. And when I joined the Marine Corps, the first bank or the first institution I directly got involved with was the Marine Corps Air Station Credit Union. And so it was just a local credit union. And eventually I joined the Navy Federal Credit Union. And I love it. I love Navy Federal because they're customer oriented. I mean, it is a co-op. But anyway, but I've had to have, you know, credit cards and so forth. So I have had, for business purposes and everything else, I've done my banking with a few different banks as far as credit cards go. Now, I can tell you that the way Citibank has changed their policies versus American Express, American Express really does seem more attuned to their customer. And I have nothing, you know, they're doing their job and they make their money. And, you know, there may be some, you know, obvious things to state about American Express because they're not accepted everywhere, because most banks and so forth, they won't accept it because, you know, it's hard for them to justify recouping the additional fees, but because American Express usually has a higher fee because they actually do take care of their customer better. But Citibank, MasterCard, or, you know, American, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, all the big banks, they all have, and they've created these policies that actually make it very hard for you and ways, because for years and years and years, we've always paid off our, you know, our balances. Our household has embraced the old adage, a fool pays interest and a wise man earns it. So if we ever use a credit card, whatever we've spent on that credit card, it is paid off that month. So we do not pay any fees or interest. They make, the only money they make from us are via the transactions of our purchases and the fees that we may have associated in having that card. That's it. And so anyway, long story short, they've changed these policies so that you actually get hit and they don't send you out a billing. So in other words, they don't actually, because they've tried to reduce their costs, and this is not actually in reducing the cost because this is how they make their fees. They do not send you a statement on a monthly basis. In other words, if you didn't have any charges for a couple of months, they won't send you a statement. So if you don't get a statement and you don't see a statement, then all of a sudden you go, oh, okay, well, those bills or those charges haven't hit yet. And then all of a sudden you get the statement the next month and go, hey, you're late. But did they actually send you that statement? They say they did. Why would they not do that? Well, actually, if they have you roll over a charge and charges, they make money. It's in their interest in making money. So I have not, and I've gone down this path to where I have done everything I can. I have actually, with Citibank, I had an extra amount of money that I would pay that would be enough to cover the any type of recurring costs that I had, you know, for something. You know, let's say $40 a month. I had $100 rolled over. They're not even paying me interest on that, just to avoid having to pay the fees and interest, because they've caught me a few times where I said, I did not see this bill. Are you telling me you sent me something? Yeah, we sent it on this day. I go, I believe you billed me on that day, and I believe all of that happened, but are you telling me you saw the envelope actually leave to come to me? Because I get all my mail, and I don't have that bill. And so, anyway, I believe they've been playing these games because that's how they make it. And so we've actually severed all of those types of ties. We do not have a Citibank or any other big bank cards anymore. They have become that predatory and they're that aggressive and they don't care. And as a matter of fact, they understand. I told you this last week and I've told you this for time and time again. Even when I talk about, you know, Gary Smith's, you know, his financial services and so forth, I tell you that the majority of Americans have no savings. Majority of Americans, so most of the people that are listening to the show, if you have a savings, you're really an outlier. So they know that you don't have any savings, and if they actually hit you with these fees or something like that, then, you know, it may be hard, and they can actually roll these things over, and in so doing, if they get you to start making the minimum payments, then they're going to start making more money off of you because your ability to actually pay, you know, suck it all up, even though it may not be that much, you know, the average person just doesn't do that, and that's how they start making their money, and they want to get you into that system to where they're making their fees and interest. Folks, to be clear, they don't deserve, you know, your business or anything like that. But here's the thing to consider, because I believe this is what's going to happen, and this is absolutely immoral, but I think there's people out there. If you can now buy gold and silver, and you can actually use your credit card, and you can pay it off if that money exists, but if you actually are at a point and you see it and you time it to where, you know, everything collapses or everything shuts down and you use a credit card, and let's say you have three or four credit cards, because I've known scoundrels that do this. They'll run up all of their everything on their credit card. So what happens if all of a sudden, you know, you go into collections and you end up going into bankruptcy on a credit card and all of these debt? And you spent it and you used it on gold. You bought a whole bunch of gold and silver and, you know, you've tucked that gold and silver away. When you go into bankruptcy court, most people, they, you know, what they spend their money on, when they go into bankruptcy, they get that stuff waived. And so I know people that do this all the time. And so these banks, because they've become so hostile, two wrongs are making a right in our society. And this is an indictment, folks. I'm not telling you to go do this. I'm telling you this is what's happening because we have become engaged in these types of tactics and where people are actually taking action to, you know, and it's the wrong action. We need to help everybody understand that these big global banks, they're a part of the problem. And as a matter of fact, when they go away to the digital currency, you realize they're all going to shut their doors. You realize that the people that own these things know that they're moving in a path of obsolescence. The need for these banks to exist will literally be moved towards loans and those types of things because they'll no longer be managing your currency. Your government will. And your government will have the bank of where your money sits, and just like China, and your government will actually determine whether you can have access to it or not. And they can make that decision at the blink of an eye. And this is just a perfect world. You may need to have a mortgage, and so these institutions out there, they'll all kind of compete. But as doors begin to close, having a local institution becomes a thing of the past. It becomes harder and harder to have that mortgage company, you know, that you can walk into. It'll all become and it'll get consolidated. And they've already drawn up the lines of who wins and who gets to be the dominant one and so forth. It's very, if you don't think I'm telling you the truth, I'd recommend you read a book called The Unseen Hand by A. Ralph Epperson. Because it really came down to when they actually started playing these economic warfare games in the capital market, the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers ended up sitting at the same table and coming up with agreements of how, because when they realized who was sitting at the table, they said, you know, we're the power brokers of the world. And all of these people that are billionaires right now and all these people that command that type of control are the power brokers of the world. And the table has gotten bigger, a little bit bigger, and there's room for, you know, all of these scoundrels to sit there. And they're all figuring out how they're going to get their fair share, because that's what the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds did. The whole reason that we have the Federal Reserve was because of that deal with the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. And A. Ralph Epperson exposed y'all to this. You know, G. Edward Griffin also did the same thing. So getting down to, you know, the cost of silver, it was basically almost $32, $31.89 when we started telling you about this digital currency. It's now, if you're going to buy it, it's around $38. So folks, it's gone up $7. And in the last week, it's gone up a couple bucks. And next week, it'll go up a couple bucks more. As the supply starts to get less and less, the cost is going to go up. You look at the U.S. Mint right now, it's still $80, but I have a feeling that that price is going to go up. Now, interestingly enough, when you're looking at gold right now by the ounce, by the tenth of an ounce, when you're looking at what you pay for a tenth of an ounce from Onyx, we might actually surpass where it may be cheaper to buy from the U.S. Mint. Now, the U.S. Mint, you know, they don't seem to have the dynamics, you know, in the market. So they just kind of set this price. But I'm just telling you, these things are going up and you need, if you're really looking to actually hold these things. Now, the most important strategy, because I want to share this, and the only reason I'm going into this on Feedback Friday is so that I can actually share. Think smart. If you're going to have a bunch of gold pieces, but you need to buy gas and to get some food, are you really going to throw thousands of dollars in a coin to somebody just to put some gas in your tank? I mean, that's a heck of a tip, and you're really a nice guy. But when it comes down to bartering, the value of gold, because of its lack of circulation and everything else, it's going to increase dramatically. So what do we do? I mean, so what would you do? You'd actually have to become kind of like the broker where, and you need to have, this is what you need to have. you need to have those gold, or actually those silver coins that are the silver quarters and dimes that are 90% silver. You can buy those from Onyx. I told you, you can buy a 45-pound bag. It's kind of expensive. But the reason why you want to have those is because that's what you use. And you might be able to find people that will be able to do exchanges. If you have a 45-pound bag, you might be able to do the exchanges. But you need to have so many quarters and dimes because that's what you're really going to be using to put gas in your tank. The actual, that currency, those smaller pieces will actually be, worth their weight in silver even more so because it keeps you from using a full ounce of pure silver. Now you can use a quarter or a dime, a portion of an ounce, and be able to, not spend as much money for, so in other words, 30 gallons of gas will be a dime. Now imagine that. Imagine that things have gotten to that point. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It won't last long like this. In other words, when all of this stuff happens, it won't last long. And this is why I think that when these things actually happen, it'll be short-lived, and you'll need to be able to react, and you'll need to be able to provide for yourself. And those people who are in an area that does not have mom-and-pop gas stations, in other words, if you live, look around. Do you have any old gas stations that still actually you got to go inside because you can't pay at the pump? They're old pumps and they actually, dial in and then you have to pay what you pumped. So in other words, if you know a gas station that has those types of pumps and all of a sudden the crap hits the fan, that's the gas station you need to go fill up real quick. Because that's the place where you can actually get the gas, because these people aren't a part of the digital network. What that means is that, the transaction of that gas ticking off will not be measured and it won't be accounted for. You actually have to hand somebody something for that. So this is the place where you'll have an opportunity to say, I don't want to use a digital currency. I don't want to use, electrical financing, but I have some silver. And this is where you have to hopefully convince this person to give you some gas for the silver. So in other words, the gas is going to be, the greater valued commodity in some cases, because some people are going to give up their silver dollars. But bottom line, this amount of silver and gold that you have, it may last you so long, but it won't last because that gas station will not be able to get refills or what have you, and they'll have to convert. Everybody will have to convert when that time comes. As a matter of fact, most places will already convert by that time. So some of the places that you'll be getting gas are those people that actually have their own little reserves, like farms, where they actually have these big gas tanks, to run their tractors and so forth. Start thinking about this, because folks, if you live in a real rural area, you'll probably know that, there's a few of these types of gas stations. There's, these farmers that actually have these large fuel tanks where they, they actually have the same people that pump gas for the gas stations. They'll come out and with those same tanks and fill up those tanks. It's like your heating oil, or it's like propane. You're actually buying direct from a distributor instead of actually pumping it out of a gas station. And so those people usually are getting a better deal, a cheaper cost, but they're paying for the delivery service, but still it's cheaper. But bottom line, folks, start thinking about this. Look pragmatically at how you are going to provide for yourself and your family, because don't you still have that responsibility as a citizen or as a family member? We have our, the nucleus of society is what? The family. So in other words, our first loyalty should be God and our family. And when it comes to our society, our first loyalty should be the society or the citizenry, or in America, that is all, the loyalty is based upon the Constitution. So I'm hoping I'm making this full circle and making these connections for you. That way you can actually start, connecting the dots and going, ah, and we have to start having these conversations. Now, there's plenty of things to go through. As a matter of fact, everybody's realizing that China is acting. They're going to take over Taiwan. And everybody is absolutely flabbergasted. I'm not flabbergasted. Are you flabbergasted? Nobody that listens to this show should be flabbergasted that Joe Biden is doing, and all of these things are happening on his watch. You do realize that every war that we've gotten into have always happened when the progressives have had control of America by having a Democratic president. FDR, Wilson. So Johnson, I mean, all of these different, well, Eisenhower got us, I believe that Korean War was Eisenhower. But I mean, folks, I tell you time and time again, when you look at a military man like DeSantos, you do not trust anybody that had time in the military, because a military officer is a politician first and foremost. Just because you think that these guys are American, they're red, white, and blue, no. These guys were indoctrinated and lived within the communist society. The military is the perfect world of communism. American military is the perfect world of communism because it's voluntary. But when you become a part of it, your whole life, everything is all about for the good of the service. In other words, it's you don't have liberties. You don't have any control. You know, you're on watch. You have no say over that. You're on watch. You're going over here. You're going to this part of the world because you have no say over that. The Corps is sending you there. The Navy is sending you there. And that is the paradigm you live during that career. And most people, they never shed that. When they walk away from the military, they don't shed that. It took me a long time to shed a lot of these little things that, you know, became a part of my life as a 20-year Marine. And I remember when I moved into the civilian sector, I had to be pulled aside by, you know, leadership in the company saying, hey, you know, you're doing a great job, but you're a little rough around the edges because you think these people are Marines. you got to treat them nicer. Anyway, the fact of the matter is that we are looking at politicians and people are actually, you know, I'll just say salivating over military men. I don't trust any of these guys. I don't. Their loyalty is just like a regular politician. And they actually have come from, I mean, they have to prove themselves. If they don't have credentials on liberty, you know, DeSantos is, you know, he's not the perfect man. And he may be the guy that might extract. And I've told you this. America wants a man that is going to extract a pound of flesh. I think the conservative side of America wants to see a president that's actually going to make perp walks and actually use the iron fist, just like the left has been using the iron fist. What we need is to restore our liberty. And the iron fist has nothing to do with that. There is the need of having justice served, but more importantly, America needs the relief from the yoke of tyranny. And that has to be the first and foremost thing. That's got to be the focus of any leader, is the relief of the yoke of tyranny. In other words, getting government out of doing all the things that it has no business doing. And if that's not the lead conversation, this is why I can't emphasize this enough. And if when you hear me talking to state leaders and so forth, that's what we need to start grooming in the next wave for 2024 at the county and state level. These people need to understand that their job is to start whacking away and removing the yoke of tyranny. We're all strapped with this yoke. And we're heading down this path. And if we have the states actually do that, we actually may actually see things actually happen to where if the United States go, there may be states in the union that will secede. They'll say, we're not going to have any part of this. And we're going to watch how that all plays out. But I'm telling you that those people that are playing this game to control every life on this earth, they are not going to let one life or one state go. They will come after you and come after you. Satan is relentless. And we can't, you know, we can't hem-haw about who's driving all of this. This is not a coincidence. We're all in this place. And you cannot ignore the signature, the DNA behind this level of tyranny and control. It's not by happen chance. We didn't evolve into this. This has been a part of Satan's plan. Yeah, Satan had a plan. He had a plan to take over, and this is what the Bible exposes us to. And it actually says that the majority of the world will be fooled into his plan, into accepting his plan. So putting off, because I don't want to, I am not the prophet, nor am I. I get your, you know, spiritual guidance and, you know, what is really going to happen from the scriptures. That's not the purpose of this show. The purpose of this show is to show you that we have the ability, and history has proven it is on our side, and the facts are on our side. If we start using the Constitution now, if we actually, between now and 2024, actually start having this movement where we get people that are campaigning and educating the people in these red states, you will see South Dakota, you will see Wyoming, you will see Montana, you will see red states actually shifting. It is pathetic to know how red Idaho is, and you know it's and how they're running around like they're caught in a perpetual Chinese fire drill. And that's what happens when controlled opposition, like the John Birch Society, Tactical Civics, and those types of organizations come in and get you entrenched into their game. We have to start working together. Any organization that will not step aside their relevance and step aside their self-interest in working with everybody out there on, you know, what we need to do and how we need to do this, in reclaiming the Republic, if they're not willing, if they can't support Republic Review, they cannot support these movements of taking back your local government, your state government, and redoing your constitution, all of these things that are necessary, then they're a part of the problem. You know, come on, it's really easy when you really look at, you know, what is killing the body. It is the division. It is the fact that we cannot all unite on healing the body. And as long as we're divided, we will be destroyed. And these groups, you may think they're conservative, you may think they're good, but they are equally a part of the problem. If you're not a part of the solution in uniting and working together, then you are a part of the problem. Can't make it any simpler, folks. So, Kenny B., if you're listening, let's have a conversation. Let's sit down as soon as we possibly can. Fire me an email or send me, you know, some information, what have you. But please, let's get ready to start putting these Constitution classes up and these ratification debates up, because we want to get these things up to YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, so when these things start posting, you'll be able to share these things. Folks, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless, and have a great weekend.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.